Good morning again, my friend. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Okay, let us go ahead and continue looking at our series, Occupy Till I Come. Again, Occupy Till I Come. And let us go ahead and open up our spirit now so the Holy Spirit will be able to go ahead and speak to us. As Jesus says, the word that I speak, they are spirit and in life. And unless we receive those words and what the Lord has for us today by the Spirit, we will never, ever receive them. Now, last week we established a critical divine spiritual principle when it comes to working for God. And that was, it does not matter what you do for God. Oh, no, it doesn't, my friend. But what matters is how we do things for God. You know, all that we do for God, if they are godly, are God's works. He just lets and allows us to do them so that we can engage with Him, what He is doing in the earth as it is done in heaven. Our reward will not be for what we did, but how we did them. Let me say that again. Our rewards in the hereafter will be not for what we did, but how we did them. Did we do the things that we do for God with the right heart condition, for the right reasons? Was our intentions honest and pure to see God glorified? Or did we do the things we do for God to see our agenda or our plans and our purposes fulfilled, even for our glory? This, my friend, is a big, big deal to God. And if we get this wrong, then all that we do for God will be for naught, and there will be no reward for us. As I said last week, we really get hung up and off track when working for the Lord. Yes, we do. And we must be very, very careful when we are working for the Lord. Again, it does not matter what we do for God, but what matters and what God is looking at is how we do things for Him. You know, I remember one of the first times I went to Nairobi, Kenya. I was talking with my host pastor's wife, Faith Matua. Pastor Joseph Matua was the host pastor. And I made this statement, it does not matter what you do for God, but it matters how you do things for God. Well, like a spring, Faith jumped up out of her chair and said, I got it. I now understand. And I replied, got what? Understand what? Well, Faith replied, how I can compete against you as an international Bible teacher and me just a lowly housewife. Well, I said to Faith, well, there is no competition between you and I, but the work that is done is not valued by God any more than the other. Our reward from God depends on our attitude and our heart condition, no matter what we do. I can travel around the world and speak to millions of folks, and my friend, I have done that. But if I do it to further my ministry or to make a name for myself, I shall not receive nothing from God for my effort. Wow. Denominational churches worldwide need to hear this message. All of denominations have their little agendas and their program. I have seen this in 87 countries of the world. They carve out their little piece of the pie and work hard diligently as they push their doctrines and their beliefs while the people are left behind wondering what in the world they are talking about. What are they doing? And just to think, all the people want is Jesus. But now they have to filter through all of this denominational, man-centered foolishness. Wow. I told Faith, even if it's changing nappies, now nappies are what Africans call diapers, with the right heart condition and with the right attitude, Faith, great shall your reward in heaven be. Not what done, but how done. You know, also last week we looked at 5 points of character from the nobleman who I believe to be Jesus, taken from the parable in Luke 19, verses 11 through 27, where in verse 13 Jesus said those words, which is the name of our series, Occupy Till I Come. As I said last week, we will take one point each week and discuss what the Holy Spirit opens up to us as we look to Him to reveal some truth for us to grow by. So this week we will look at that first point. And make no mistake, my friend, it is a critical point for our understanding, for our daily Christian living, and for our spiritual growth and development. Now, that first point was, since the nobleman, who I believe to be Jesus, trusted his servants with 1 pound of money, or between $15 to $17, which was a huge amount of money in those days, there must have been a training program, a time of teaching, a time of teaching the servant went through. It looks like in this parable there was a master-to-servant or a teacher-to-student relationship already established. Wow, so much to glean from this thought and from this parable. You know, before God can trust us to handle some responsibility in doing things for Him, there must be a time of training in our life. Let me say that again. This is critical. Before God can trust us to handle some responsibility, some duties, and doing things for Him, there must be a time of training in our life. And the more we learn the lessons God has for us, the better the servant we will be. Let me say that again. The more we learn the lessons God has for us, the better the servant we will be. You know, sadly, most Christians walk the aisle or repeat the sinner's prayer. Whoa, the sinner's prayer is nowhere in the Bible. Be careful with that. And then they try to handle some things, especially spiritual things, without training. Well, this, my friend, will only end in failure. And is why most people who become a Christian, they fall away. There's been no teaching. There's been no training. They have never read the owner's manual, the Bible. You know, the first sign of ownership of anything that we buy is when we read the owner's manual. But sadly, most Christians who come to the Lord are rarely encouraged to establish a personal relationship with the Lord. Oh no, it's all monkey see, monkey do. Just go through the religious numbers, and after some time, well, you know what happens. The flesh gets tired of playing church, and sadly, it walks away from God. You know, this is not even the learning process for children in the Bible. No, it's not. But when a young boy is beginning to grow up into manhood and work becomes important, usually he is in a family. This is a Jewish custom. And that family has a certain business. But the young lad does not inherit the business when his father steps down. Oh no. There is a defined time the son begins his schooling in the family business. He has tutors, and he has teachers, and he has lessons, and he has all of these plans. That the son must learn every little nook and cranny of the business. There are tests for the lad to pass. And if not, then his schooling continues until the father is convinced, until the tutors tell the father, the son has learned his lessons. Wow. Until the father is convinced his son can handle the business. Now, after the training, the son can speak for the father. So the son does not speak for the father until he is trained. Now the son can represent the father and the family in all areas of the family and business. Until then, the son cannot represent the father in the family business. So after the son learns his lessons, the father then can throw a 3-day feast for everyone in town to come to. So the father can publicly proclaim his son now is a member and not a slave anymore of the family. And it's called an adoption feast. Now the son speaks and can represent the father. Again, it is called an adoption feast. And without the schooling, without the training, without the son successfully completing his lessons, there would be no feast, and the son could not speak for the father. Well, my friend, so too in our lives. If we do not undergo our training, if we do not undergo God's dealing and judgments in our lives, if we do not pass the test, we will never be able to speak or represent our Heavenly Father. No matter how many times we walk the aisle or repeat the sinner's prayer. We will not be a member of the family, of the body of Christ. We will not be. Study hard, my friend. Learn well, my friend, the lessons the Lord has for us. And in the end, the pound, that money that the nobleman, who I believe to be Jesus, gives to us, we can invest it wisely and give to him the increase that he is looking for in our lives and in the investment that he has given us. Amen. Point number two, next week, my friend. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, hoping that you have had a tremendous week to come, and that the word today has ministered to your heart, and that you will take this lesson seriously and this teaching seriously as you occupy till he comes. Amen. Talk to you next week.